Welcome to Lead Follow, a podcast for pastors and leaders, hosted by MCUSA Executive Director Glenn Guyton. Join Glenn as he talks to folks across the denomination to help equip today's leaders who are leading while following Jesus.
Hello, I'm Glenn Guyton, and during this season of Lead Follow, we'll be exploring ways to engage with youth and young adults from Gen Alpha to Gen Z. Today, I am pleased to welcome Gilberto Perez, and we will be discussing growing and developing young leaders. Dr. Gilberto Perez Jr. is Vice President of Student Life, Hispanic Serving Initiatives, and Dean of Students at Goshen College in Indiana. He has served as Associate Professor of Social Work at Goshen College since 2012 and became Senior Director of Intercultural Development and Educational Partnerships in the college's Center for Intercultural and International Education in 2014. Prior to joining Goshen College, Perez worked at Northeastern Center, a community mental health center in Northeast Indiana. There, he worked on authoring the Bienvenido curriculum, a nationally recognized mental health promotion curriculum for Latino immigrants that addresses access to mental health services. To date, it has been implemented in 14 states. Gilberto holds a bachelor's degree from Eastern Mennonite University in Virginia, a master's degree in social work from the Universidad Interamericana in Puerto Rico, and a doctorate in education from the University of New England. Dr. Gilberto, welcome.
It's good to be here, Glenn. Thanks for the invitation.
Well, great. And you gave me an opportunity to practice my Spanish accent a little bit.
Claro que sí. Yes, sir. Let's go.
With all of your accomplishments. But good to have you here today. Always a pleasure to connect with you. I mean, we've known each other for a while.
Yeah, we have. It's good.
We'll get a little more gray now.
Well, I'm wearing mine a little more because I keep the goatee here, and so.
Okay.
Yeah, it's good.
I had to shave mine off, but we'll start with my first question. Normally, now I ask people to say, how would you advise your 13-year-old self? But since you work with college students, and we want to talk about young adults today, what would you tell your 22-year-old self?
Well, maybe I will actually answer the 13-year-old because I think it has something to do with the 22-year-old.
Okay, all right.
And so I think if I would give some advice to my 13-year-old self, I would say pay closer attention to what your parents are doing.
Okay.
Because as I think about, even just now thinking about the question, when I think about what my parents were doing back then, mm-hmm. it began to influence my 22-year-old.
Okay.
Because my parents were pastors in South Texas, Iglesia Menonita El Mesías in Robstown.
Okay.
And my parents were pastors, but they were also, in my mind, as I've studied social work and got a degree in social work, a master's in social work, my folks were doing social work.
Okay.
They were engaged in referring people for services, getting people to health services, et cetera, et cetera. And when I think about my 22-year-old self, it's one of those, what I was seeing as a 13-year-old are now things that I am actually involved in myself that my parents were doing when I was 13.
Right.
So the advice to young people is pay close attention to where your parents are serving. Pay close attention where your parents are like giving life and what are they excited about?
Right.
Because it's possible that what they are doing may be some of the things you in your own personal self like might actually want to enjoy doing, whether it's a profession or whether you get into volunteering or whatever your parents were doing. We are mirrors of many times we mirror what our parents have lived out because as young people, what is it? They're always like, okay, do this and don't do that.
Right.
They're always telling us what we should or, giving us advice and guiding us. And so that's what I might say to my 13-year-old and 22-year-old self. Ooh, what you were seeing your parents do when you were a kid actually might rub off on you as you get older in life.
Right. So did you, at 22, did you appreciate like what your parents were doing? Was that like the turning point of reflection for you? Like, did it kind of just like sneak up on you? It's like, man, I'm my parents now.
Well, it's interesting. I had just finished up a summer service with Mennonite Central Committee in North Newton, Kansas.
Okay.
And I had spent the entire summer doing a needs assessment, a community needs assessment.
So at 22,
I was knocking on doors with the folks there in North Newton.
Okay.
I was spending time in a lot of living rooms, backyards, parks, restaurants. I was just meeting people all over the community there. And probably around that time, I realized, whoa, this is what mom and dad were doing when I was like 13 or so. I was in seventh grade, eighth grade, right around that time. And I actually realized at 22, 23, when I was finishing up my degree, I've spent the entire summer almost doing the work that my parents were doing when I was a kid. And it was quite an amazing, you know, experience to think I'm actually finishing up a degree in social work. I've done this needs assessment. And it really was a life transforming, sort of shifted me to sort of think about, my parents actually do have a lot of influence in at my 22-year-old self and 13-year-old self.
And I think we underestimate that as young people, like how much influence our parents have in our lives. And I don't know, you know, people have different kind of relationships with their parents. But do you feel like your parents kind of pushed you in this direction, or is just kind of more osmosis?
No, I don't feel my parents pushed me. It was, I think, those many conversations, those rides in the car when we were going to people's homes to visit. And, you know, I was headed toward a music degree, right? I was a music major.
Okay.
I was in a marching band. I played trumpet.
Okay.
I was in a mariachi band. I'm going to be a band director like Mr. Charles Cabrera, right? He was my idol. I really... You know, and other folks like Martin Moreno and Sandra Sandoval and Adan Molina. These are people that I was looking at, admiring as I'm growing up in my middle school and then high school years. And I'm thinking, I want to be like these people. These are good people, and I think I want to do that. So I off to college, show up at Heston, and I realize, music is not for me. So, you know, to the question of how did... You know, did the parents influence me completely and all that? But I was kind of headed in a different direction. Initially, when I started college.
And I suppose they didn't have a big mariachi band like there at Heston.
Well, you know, at Heston College, they had a partner school, which was Bethel College. So I hung out at Bethel College with their jazz band.
Oh, the jazz band.
But I went on choir tour with Heston Bel Canto Choir, and I played a song, and, you know, I got to meet a lot of people and went all across the Midwest and got on a bus and, you know, did all that stuff that choirs and colleges do, right? Like, we just had our choir, the women's choir, Voices of the Earth. They did their trip to Chicago, Detroit, Cleveland. You know, a little different, right? Heston was going to the Mennonite meccas of the world, and Goshen College is, we're sending our choirs to Chicago to meet with African American leaders, and then we're going to Detroit and going to Motown and singing. And then going to Cleveland, where, you know, Dr. Regina Shantz-Dolsfus, her congregation there. And the music has been a big part. Yeah. But, you know, I never thought that, you know, social work when I was growing up was going to be the thing that I would, like, spend a good portion of my life doing.
All right. And so now you're involved in a number of things. And in the intro, I read all of your accolades and positions and things like that. But one of the things I'm interested in, and we're talking about young people, is that you have a program, Se Parte de Cambio, Be a Part of the Change. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah. So, you know, I work at Goshen College, but I also do some work in community through my consulting group.
Yeah.
And Se Parte del Cambio is a program that we're developing with leaders from community, where they might see themselves as leaders of change in what they do.
Okay.
And Se Parte del Cambio is really an opportunity for leaders to think about their leadership and destino.
Okay.
Right? So leadership and destiny.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's my character? What is it about me that's going to help change communities and so forth. But it's also helping to have people think about leadership con el pueblo, right? Leadership with the people, right? As leaders, we can get involved in systems. And we lead organizations and we lead systems. And part of the Sede Parte del Cambio is helping leaders think about leadership with the people of what they do and how they engage in that particular work. So we're partnering with some local chambers of commerce, and Goshen Colleges will also be a part of that. But the Sede Parte del Cambio is pretty exciting. You know, we're engaging Latino, Latinx leaders from our community who may not have that really high leadership position.
Right.
But they're leaders who are influencing a lot of things in the community.
Yeah.
They move the people, they move activities, they move things, right? And we're wanting, I'm wanting to reach those individuals because their leadership can be more of an influence if they would obtain additional skills to lead people. How do you communicate better? How do you advocate? What do you learn about public policy? What about public service? Do you see political involvement, civic engagement in your life in the future? And reaching those leaders is probably one of the things that I'm most excited about, where those are young professionals and adults, but also at Goshen College, we're developing leadership programs there as well, too. So Sede Parte del Cambio is part of other leadership programs that I'm doing within the college.
So how do you identify these potential young leaders? Like, how do you get them to be a part of these programs?
Right. So if I think about how we're attracting young people at Goshen College, is we have various holding spots where our students can apply for leadership. So you, let's say you want to be a part of the Black Student Union. Well, we need leaders to lead Black Student Union. And we invite young people, the college students, to jump in to be a part of BSU, Latino Student Union, Advocates, International Student Club, the Asian Student Association, EcoPacs, many different holding spaces, resident assistant, right? Those types of Senate, those types of leadership positions. And so I think attracting young people to leadership positions for me and also at Goshen College is like we have to create a semi-structure where young people can jump in and actually be invited to live out some leadership competencies, live out some ways of being leaders. And so we attract them by saying, okay, we have these positions available. Who's in?
Who's in, right?
And apply. It doesn't mean because you apply, you're in. But it means that you apply and we have a conversation with you about what you're interested in leadership and what motivates you to want to be a leader. What do you see some things that you like to bring to this leadership role? And what would you like to see change in this community? And so I think young people, at least the, when I think of our college students at Goshen College, they are itching. They are ready. They're excited about leadership. And so putting a structure in place, right? You know, here's a holder. These are the various places where you can actually do leadership.
Where you can plug in,
You want to jump in?
Yeah.
You excited?
Yeah.
You want to do some work? And we invite them to the conversation, and then they, for themselves, if we agree that, oh, it feels like a good fit, we'll jump on in, and let's have a conversation about how Student Senate wants to change some things of how do you listen better to your student body? Or the Black Student Union says, we'd like to bring more Black voices to campus. Well, let's go for it. Let's do it together. And so we're engaging the students with structure, and we're also engaging the students with their own sense of agency of what they want to do. And we're also saying to the students, we're about mentoring you. We're about giving you some guidance. And we're going to allow you to do some things, and we're going to walk with you, and we're going to do things together. And at the same time, there are some competencies that we can both learn. So we give them a list of competencies. Which ones do you want to do?
So I think that's important. And I think that's an important point for us to focus on as we share this with the audience. But is that, you know, you talked about structure, right? Like that you provide them a, like kind of a a leadership framework, because this is the time when you practice your leadership skills, when you make mistakes, when you do dumb. I can't tell you how many dumb things that I did as a young student at the Air Force Academy. That's where I went to college. Sure. But it's a leadership laboratory. And I find out that people that didn't have those experiences as young leaders in college, when they become adults and do dumb stuff, the consequences are more severe, right? But once you have that, I mean, I think this is the beauty of college. Regardless of what kind of degree you get, or, you know, all of the grades and things like that, that this leadership structure, the opportunity to practice in this safe environment is something that's great. So saying that, what do you think now that that maybe young people don't have as many opportunities for these on-campus things as we move more toward remote learning? How do you think that'll impact leadership development for young people?
You know, Glenn, I think that regardless of the medium.
Okay.
So you're saying, hey, things are going remote, guy. You know, we're going to spend more time on Zoom or on Microsoft Teams, on all kinds of these platforms. I think the principle still stays the same.
Okay.
Right? You offer a leadership framework.
Okay.
So that's what we're doing at the college. Our leadership framework in the circular is we want to provide you a place where you can develop purpose.
Okay, I like that. Develop purpose.
Develop purpose.
Yeah.
We want you to develop integrity.
Yes.
Right? We want you to develop identity.
Okay.
Like, who are you? Mm-hmm. Who do you belong to?
Right.
Who do you connect to? We're also saying to young people, there is this idea of autonomy versus interdependence.
Mm-hmm.
We live in a society that really champions individualistic accomplishments.
Yep.
And we see it all the way from when they're in middle school, grade school, all the way through high school, through college.
Right.
You know, you get your trophy, you get your accomplishment, your recognition. And we're trying to move young people at Goshen College to think about, it's not just about you.
Mm-hmm.
It's about us, right? The us. And so we're working with the framework to say, let's have you do some autonomy, that's fine,
mm-hmm.
but can you also experience some interdependence, the developing us, that brings young people to sort of agree on saying, yeah, we want to work on that thing.
Yeah.
That thing right there, we want to work on it. So we have a group of students within PIN, Prevention Intervention Network. And they're motivated to go into classrooms to train other peers about sexual assault prevention.
Okay.
Well, that's good. We have a group of students right now who are very, very committed to the ceasefire in Gaza and Palestine, Israel. Well, the us that's working between them is they're saying, well, let's get together to put a group of students in a process. And let's create opportunities to engage. They'll be there tonight at the Broken Shield, mm-hmm. where they'll make a statement. They'll challenge they'll encourage the administration to make a statement on the ceasefire. So the college has been involved in a couple of activities mm-hmm. of promoting the ceasefire. But students, they're like, well, we want more. You know,
right.
Come on, put yourself out there. And these opportunities for the framework to say to students, work on the us,
mm-hmm.
and at the same time, work on managing your emotions.
Right.
How do you manage when you're angry at the administration because they didn't respond the way you and your fellow peers wanted them to respond? Well, you can do it as the Latino Student Union and the Black Student Union have done in the past with Black Lives Matters, and also Latino student unions when we became a Hispanic serving institution.
Right.
They felt as though, hey, not enough information. Ah, okay, we got to work on that. And what did they do? They created structure.
Mm-hmm.
They came to the administration in a very organized manner. They also had a protest. But again, the managing the emotion of the framework that we say to them, if you can work at building some of these things for yourself in developing mature relationships and all of the things that you do,
right.
It's likely, whether you're on remote,
mm-hmm.
whether you're in person, whether you're on a boat, whether you're on some type of platform that you're with a group of people,
right.
If you have a foundation of a framework that says, we've learned that the basics of leadership has to do with this.
Right.
But then in the middle, you can create any kind of leadership program.
Right.
And you want to make sure it ties to your leadership framework. So we're really about student development, and the framework, the leadership framework, is around these seven vectors of identity development.
Okay.
Through Arthur Chickering, which is a student development theorist that's okay. been around. He's passed away a few years ago, but he has just been influential within the field in higher education of working with a lot of college students to help them sort of see how do you develop as a leader on a college campus.
So do you think, so I wonder about young people today, and I've done a little bit of studying for the civil rights movement and just always amazed at how young those leaders were at the time that mobilized. I mean, even high school students, junior high students sometimes were mobilized. Do you think, because you continue to work with young people, so do you think this generation has the patience for a movement like that? I just wonder. I know it's easy to do things like Occupy Wall Street, to tweet something, to post something on Facebook. Do you think they have the patience and maybe have we given them the framework to do long, hard work to be a part of like the change that you're talking about?
That's a really good question, Glenn. And I actually want to believe, because that's part of one of our principles within the leadership program of Bienvenido at Goshen College, is that I want to believe that the young people that are stepping into all of these leadership opportunities at Goshen College, so I can't speak about other colleges, I think all of the students that are stepping into leadership opportunities, whether it's on a basketball team, baseball team, BSU, Asian Student Association, One Circle for Indigenous people, all of those leadership opportunities, I think are giving our students, our young people, an opportunity to see themselves in the moment that they can impact change.
Yeah, yeah.
And the brain, as I've studied over the years as a bilingual therapist, right? You know, the brain creates certain pathways. So the synapses and we create certain pathways to our memories.
Yeah.
And memories come with skill development.
Okay.
And so if our young people today at Goshen College, for me, they're building these opportunities to step into doing something together with someone else, the developing us, right? The values, the cultural values that they aspire to. I want to believe that in the future, the young people at Goshen College will be the influencers of our communities, our faith communities, whether they're Mennonite, whether they're Assembly of God, Baptist, Methodist, wherever, the Muslim community, wherever they are at, I want to strongly believe that the young people of today, that I'm going to venture to say, I don't worry as much because I believe that the things that they are learning through their athletic groups, through their affinity groups, through Student Senate, through the spaces of PIN, through the spaces of advocates, through the space, right? All of these places where young people are, in many ways, doing things together. They're creating, in my estimation, they're creating memories and they're building skills because we're giving them some semi-structure and a framework that then they can go out to the world and say, they're on a team, right? So they're on a work team at their employer with where they work. They might be able to say, I've been a part of something like that.
Right, yeah.
And I can help lead that. Do you mind me bringing some of my ideas? And then the young people then are seen by the leadership at that institution, organization, business, whatever. And I want to imagine that those people in leadership at those organizations will say, ha, you got something that somebody else doesn't have.
Right.
Where did you learn that? And tell me more about that. And then that individual will say to that organization where they're at, I can lead.
Mm-hmm. Say, I went to Goshen College.
Right? I went to Goshen College, of course.
You know, I think that part of like our challenge as older leaders and as parents mm-hmm. is to give kids the opportunity to lead and do things, whether it's at our home congregations, whether it's at home, taking out the garbage, cutting the grass, or taking their car to get the oil changed or something. I think that's part of the challenge, because I don't want to be one of these grumpy old men and just, oh, these kids today, well, who are they learning from? Like you said, you watched your parents, right? You observed your parents out doing things. And the other part of it, you said you were in the car with them, right? They didn't just leave you at home. Well, are we going out to do this work? You're coming with us, right?
This is the us.
That's us.
We're doing
right?
it together.
Yeah, yeah.
So, even though I was in the car with my sister, we were grumpy and we were
right,
upset.
Right.
And we were fighting and we were hitting each other because I want more space.
Right,
and you go to the front seat, you go to the back seat.
But you were part of it, though.
But those experiences. And then we'd get invited inside because they had food.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
And I'm good. I'm hungry. Let's go.
Right.
And so I think what we're seeing with like our student leaders, if I just give an example of Student Senate, I have senators who are from seniors to first years.
Okay.
And I had a first year student, Javier, who says when he first stated, I want to be a part of Senate, I want to be president.
Okay.
Okay, Javier, I'm excited for you. That's great. Woo! Yeah. Let's put your name in. Let's see. But we've got some other folks who are also, and then Javier has a conversation with other students who are also applying to run for Senate.
Yeah.
And he realizes, I got some things to learn.
Yeah, it may take a little bit.
Yeah,
right?
And then Gabe Martinez, who is our Senate president, doing a phenomenal job of leading the group. And then also, like even at this last meeting, there was a sharing of the power.
Okay.
Right? So so Javier got to lead the meeting.
Okay, all right.
And Gabe said, I'll step aside. And,
right,
so Gabe is graduating. Well, who's the next leader?
Right.
And so part of, again, giving young people opportunities, to be a part of something.
Yeah.
I believe that when young people are given the confidence and the trust.
The trust, yeah.
That they can do this, but they can do this with other students and with the guidance of a mentor such as a co-advisor and Spencer Castillo and myself with Senate, I think they're more willing to take risks to try new things. And I look at the list of things that our Student Senate is working on with others.
Yeah.
You know, the minutes for the first two or three meetings are like, okay, a page.
Right.
Man,
right.
I go to the minutes. If I didn't go to the meeting, it's like five pages.
Yeah.
So these young people, they're in the game.
Yeah, yeah.
They're excited about the work they're doing, and their influence is so much stronger than my influence.
Right, yeah.
Because they themselves are the leaders of their peers.
Right.
And I, you know, I get a little emotional because they're the future, and I'm thinking, this is gonna be all right.
Yeah,
you know, it's gonna be good because I can see Kyra. I can see Mariela, I can see Dan, I can see Javier, I can see Jalen, I can see Ash. These young people, they're about learning.
Right.
These young people, they're about getting into the game of trying to make change in their spaces. And I only say to organizations out there, hold on, because it's going to be good.
Yeah, yeah.
Because these young people have done the work of trying to build mature relationships.
Yeah, and I think that's what we should all hope for as leaders. You know, the older generations are hanging on a little bit longer than they did in the past, but I think we need to be mindful of that we have to make space for these young people, make space for their gifts and skills, and as parents, really just challenging kids and letting them fail, right? And knowing when to push and when to back off.
Yeah.
I remember my daughter when she was graduating from high school, and we were trying to figure out what she was going to do, and she didn't really want to do anything. I said, "Well, you're going to go to Girl State. I don't know if you're familiar with that program. You're going to go to Girl State. She's like, I don't want to go to Girl State. I said, where you going? And like, you're going to go and you're going to hang out with this leadership program. And I don't care if you do anything, you're just going to go. And she was like, well, I'm just going to go. I'm not going to do anything. And then she was like, they're going to have elections. I said, what are you going to run for? I don't know. She wound up being governor of Girl State. Like, she didn't want to go. She wound up being governor. And then all these girls were looking up to her.
Good for her.
But it was a transformative experience.
Exactly.
Something that she'll always remember.
Yeah, yeah.
And me as a parent, it was kind of like, well, do I make her go and do this? Do I not? No. And I think that's always the challenge for us as mentors, as leaders. Like, how much do you push? How much do you let them discover things on their own? Yeah. And then when do you get out of the way?
Yeah.
Again, I just want to just go back to your framework thing is that I think sometimes we try to protect kids and young people too much. And I look back on my life as a leader, and I'm a pretty successful leader. You're a pretty successful leader. I look back on the things I was allowed to do as a high school student and as a college student. I'm like, man, why do these people trust me to do all these things? I didn't know what I was doing. Like, I'm surprised I didn't ruin somebody's life.
Right.
But I didn't.
Yeah.
But I think about, like, man, would I trust, like, would 54-year-old Glenn trust 18-year-old Glenn to do the things that I was allowed to do?
Yeah.
And I'm thankful that I had good leaders that allowed me to
spread
my wings
a little
bit.
And I think, too, Glenn, we as leaders in these positions that we're at within our institutions and me at Goshen College, we set boundaries and we try to work it. But at the same time, students, young people, they will do what they want to do.
Okay, all right.
And what I have appreciated from the college students at Goshen is if they do that, they're also in communication with us.
Yeah.
We're engaging in this conversation. They've written very, very professionally, respectfully, cordially to the president, to the administration about the ceasefire.
Yeah.
And about Black Lives Matter and about Hispanic serving institution issues and athletics, right? And we believe that part of that happens because you welcome students into leadership, right? Oh. So this leadership program that we're developing is bienvenido.
Yeah.
Right? Bienvenido to leadership. Welcome to leadership. But welcome to leadership is not just, hey, you're here, we're glad you're here, and all that good stuff, and we're going to have a great time, we're going to make some change. But we're also deliberate in saying that welcome leadership is about working together.
Okay.
It's about encouraging one another. It's about listening to what the other person has to say. It's really about cultivating relationships with people.
Yeah.
And it's about offering opportunities to serve one another. And it's, in many ways, moving toward other people. And then finally, it's about empowering young people. And if you take that spells welcome.
All right.
And so that welcome for us to our students at Goshen College is saying to them very, very clearly, we believe in you. We want you to do things with other people. We want you to hold on to some strong values. We want you to be well. So take care of yourself. Rest. Eat well. Exercise. Read. Listen to good music. Go out and dance. Go out and have a great time with your friends. And finally, be grounded to your faith.
Yeah.
And so that's what we're teaching students of through our campus pastor, Jan Schenk, is teaching young people about faith that builds them up to be transformational leaders, to be servant leaders, to be transactional leaders, to be eclectic leaders, whatever leadership style they're going to actually sort of live into. That's what we're excited about, welcoming them to leadership when they come to Goshen College and are invited to a leadership role, because you got to apply.
Right.
And that means you got to bring your best game, you got to bring your A game to the interview, and you got to have good conversation, and you got to show yourself doing some things across the campus. And it doesn't have to be a, whoa, man, I'm all over the place. No. You are in a place where you're doing things with other people, and you've got some values, and you're grounded in a practice. And the framework, the leadership framework that you give you, that we give you, and that we provide you, we hope, yeah, we hope that you will accept the invitation and jump in and do your best.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your time. Great conversation. Man, you're doing some great things, and we want to welcome more young people into leadership. So thank you for your for what you've shared and for the work that you are doing in the community.
It's been a pleasure, Glenn, and blessings to you in your work and everything you're doing.
All right. So for the latest news and events from Mennonite Church USA, please subscribe to Piecemeal, our weekly email newsletter at MennoniteUSA.org/piecemeal. The links will be in the description. And we also ask that you prayerfully consider supporting the ongoing work of Mennonite Church USA's ministry at MennoniteUSA.org/give. Thank you so much.